Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hi there, welcome to session 55 of Selling the Couch. I know that the day I'm releasing this, it is between Christmas and New Year, so hope you have a wonderful start to your new year. We will be hanging out with some friends, playing board games, and just having a good time. So this is the second of a two-part series where I'm teaching all about how to create an e-course. So if you haven't had a chance, I would encourage you to check out this previous session, session 54, where I actually go into how to plan and research your course, as well as how to find an audience that is going to purchase your course, and then some of the basic gear that's required to actually record your course. Today, we're going to dive a little deeper into how do you distribute your course and how do you accept payments, and then how do you figure out how much you should charge for your course. And then we'll wrap up with some of the mistakes that I made as I launched my own course, The Healthcasters. So the first thing is, how do you actually go about distributing and accepting payment? So I did a bunch of research into all sorts of different things. There are a bunch of different programs out there. I would encourage you to do your own research. The one that I eventually settled on was a program by Derek Halpern from Social Triggers called Zippy Courses. Again, that's Zippy Courses. And the thing that I liked about Zippy Courses was that it was built on the WordPress engine. So I'm already familiar with WordPress because that's what I use for the Selling the Couch blog. And what it basically does is it overlays on your WordPress website, and then Zippy Courses then allows you to add new content and all sorts of different stuff. The thing I really like about Zippy Courses is that once you get it set up, it's very automated. There's very minimal involvement on your end. So you can do everything from setting up your course and having somebody take payment, all the way to if they lose their password, Zippy Courses will automatically send them an email with their new password and all that. So again, once you set it up, you're good to go. Zippy Courses, the best way to explain it is, once you install Zippy Courses, they break it down into units and lessons. So you can have, let's say your course has 5 different units on 5 different topics, and then you can have lessons within each unit where you discuss that topic a little bit further. With Zippy Courses, you can either just create a new website, which is what I did. So I created thehealthcasters.com. Or you can have what's called a subdomain of your existing website, which basically means that your course will be housed under your private practice website, for example, but it will just have its own little domain. One of the advantages of doing this is generally then it's a little bit more stable because the people that are just wanting to access your course, they can access it on an independent website as opposed to people both visiting your private practice website as well as the people that are enrolled in your course. I also looked at a bunch of different options with figuring out in terms of video. The one that I settled on is called Vimeo, and I use their pro account. It's really inexpensive. I also looked at another one called Wistia. And Wistia, the analytics are I feel like, a lot better than Vimeo. Vimeos are very good. Wistia was a lot more expensive. And the thing I also liked about Vimeo Pro was just, it was just very easy to use. The other really nice thing was that, let's say that down the line you ever want to sell an individual video that you create, Vimeo makes it really easy to do that. You can actually just set up the sales page on Vimeo itself and then automate it again so people can go to that page, they can pay for it, and then they have access to the video. So there's basically two ways to, in general, there's two ways to record a course. So you can record a video through the webcam that I mentioned, and the one I use right now is the Logitech C920. If you're listening to this way in the future, my recommendations likely change. So you can go to sellingthecouch.com/webcam to get an idea of what my most recent recommendation is. And then, or you can just record your computer screen using either Camtasia if you are on a Windows, or ScreenFlow if you're on a Mac. And so if you're recording your screen, you can either record slides or you can do a demonstration of you doing something. So for example, let's say that you have some sort of an Excel file or a cheat sheet or something like that. You can record yourself explaining how to fill that out on using ScreenFlow or using Camtasia. Now, as far as payment options, what I basically went with PayPal Business. I looked at PayPal and I looked at Stripe. I would encourage you to Google PayPal versus Stripe. You'll come across a couple of different articles that basically tell you in terms of cost benefit. So how much monthly revenue do you need on PayPal, when PayPal is better versus when Stripe is better? I went with PayPal because PayPal's been around. I went with their business account, which costs, I think, $19 a month or something like that. The reason to have a business account is that you can set up subscription payments, which are recurring payments, or you can set up payment plans. You can't do that, at least right now, on a standard PayPal account. Before I actually go on, I wanted to just take a step back and talk a little bit more about Vimeo. So once you've actually recorded your video, so either with your webcam or through some sort of a screen capture device, what you want to do is then you can upload it to Vimeo. And Vimeo, the nice thing is there are all sorts of privacy settings. So you can make it available to people with a certain email address, or you can set a password and so only people with that password have it, or you can just have the video only available on a website, which is what I did. So I made it only available on thehealthcasters.com. So that prevents someone from actually downloading the video and then putting it on their own website or distributing it illegally. And so once you upload your video onto Vimeo, you get what's called an embed code. Vimeo, it's really easy. Once you upload it, there's a little tab. It says embed. And so you just go and get that code. You copy it. You go back into Zippy Courses and just paste it into the lesson that you want to paste it into. And the video magically appears on Zippy Courses. It's pretty amazing. So as you begin to just generally think about recording content, one feedback that I received early on was to really include multiple types of content. So you want to include some slides, you want to include some audio, you want to include some video, maybe even some cheat sheets. You want to look at it from the perspective of someone that is going to consume your course. What type of content would they want, and where are they actually going to be consuming this content? And now I just want to transition over to pricing. This is probably the area that I struggled the most with, because I knew that the content that I had created for the Healthcasters, it's a very technical skill, podcasting, right? And I knew that I had invested hundreds, actually close to almost 1,000 hours of my own time now into podcasting, learning, going to conferences, paying for coaches and mentors. I knew that the content that I was putting out there was worth probably realistically thousands of dollars. The only thing is I also wanted it to be affordable for people. As you know me, like, I never want anything that I create to be any kind of a financial burden. So I really struggled with that. Like, what is that fine balance? And then I also did quite a bit of research on physical products and what people charge and what pricing theory is. You know me, I try to get a little nerdy when it comes to this stuff. So I was trying to figure out what I should charge. And one of the things that I found, they haven't done a lot of research for digital products, but for physical products, what they have found is that prices that end in a 7, it tends to make consumers more likely to purchase because there's like a bit of comfort. So for example, even like when you go to the local store, you'll see something for like $1.97 or 97 cents as opposed to 99 cents. Part of that is because for most of us, rationally, we can justify paying something that ends in a 7 as opposed to paying for something that ends in a 9. Now, with e-courses, there's a range of pricing options. The most common ones that I have seen are $47 on the low end, then it works to $97, $197, $297, $497, $997, and then I've also seen $1,997 as well. What I settled on was $497 because I just thought with all of the content that I'm including, and then my plan was also to include like future content because for me, because podcasting is something that's constantly evolving, it's such a new niche, I wanted to have teaching workshops and Q&A, and I wanted to be able to record those. And so I'm adding future content into the existing course. I wanted to account for that. And so I settled on $497 and I included a payment plan to make it affordable for anyone that was actually serious about podcasting and wanted to get started. So I went with $97 at 6 payments. And so far that's been good and it's been reasonable. I haven't gotten any sort of negative feedback. My plan over time is, you know, as I continue to add content for new folks that enter the course, I'll incrementally increase the price of it. Nothing crazy, but I'll probably incrementally increase it. Now, one of the things that I went back and forth on and I ultimately decided to do was a 30-day full money-back guarantee. That kind of seems to be the standard with the e-course niche now. I think part of it is for someone that may not know you as well, but that's interested in your course, I think because it's a digital product, I think offering some sort of a 30-day money-back guarantee gives the person a sense of safety. Oh, you know, I can purchase this course and if I'm not happy, then I can always return it. And so that's something just to think about. Even on your sales page, just to put that you have a 30-day money-back guarantee. And we didn't talk too much about this, but I created the sales page on Lead Pages. And Lead Pages, the thing I really like about it is they already have existing templates for sales pages. They look across multiple industries. They've surveyed and done research on tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people. So the templates they're creating are ones that have been proven to actually convert people into people that are from people that are just curious to buyers. I wanted to wrap up today's session by just sharing some of the mistakes that I made along the way. My hope in this section is just to give you things that I messed up on, and I hope that it encourages you to not follow my path and mess up, but hopefully to learn from my lessons. The first thing that I did was when I launched my course, I didn't do enough question and answer workshops or webinars. I think about it now. So I have a brand new product. I've never created a product before. I feel like it's a really good product. I put a lot of time into it, but the reality is someone that's purchasing it may not know that. So I wish I had done more live Q&A webinars, like almost office hours. Maybe it's just 30 minutes or maybe it's an hour where folks can stop in, they can ask any questions they have about the course. That way I can answer them. That way they also get to meet me. They see that I'm not, you know, I'm just human. I'm a regular person. I'm not some kind of robot or something like that. And to be completely honest, I think part of why I was reluctant to do Q&A webinars is I'm fairly camera shy. I think I'm getting more used to it as I do more podcasting workshops. And I think I'm more comfortable with it. But it was really hard for me to get in front of the camera and have conversations with people live. I much prefer, I think, the podcasting mic. So the other thing that I wish I had done earlier, and I'm starting to do them now, was that I wish I had done really high quality teaching workshops pertaining to the topic that my course was about. Now, you know, I'm now starting to do podcasting workshops, but my whole thing with any sort of a workshop is that you should provide 95% of the content on there should be just awesome, amazing content that people can walk away and be like, oh my gosh, I can do this, whatever your topic is. So for me, I have these podcasting workshops. I go into how do you record? How do you edit? How do you create podcast logo that really stands out. I teach all of these things because I love this topic. I want people that are attending to be like, oh my gosh, this is just amazing. And then if they need that extra support, they can always get the course. I never go into these teaching workshops thinking, oh, how do I slide in my course and how do I pitch my course for 95% of the time and then teach for 5%? So I would encourage just to also think about, again, that's not required right at the beginning. I think the bigger thing is at least to just get the course out and to see it definitely as a marathon and not a sprint. I wanted to wrap up and I wanted to just give you a quick look at my own stats. So I did when I distributed my course, when I first launched, I did a 10-day pre-launch of my course. So I gave it at a discount price of $327. And then I also included a payment plan on that one as well. And then I went to the $497 after those 10 days. So I'm just looking at my lead pages, sales page, and I had 297 people that came to that sales page on those first 10 days. So that's really good. And I think, not like, you know, patting my own back or anything, but I think part of why there was that much interest in the course was because I took that time to do the research and I knew that this was an area that a lot of folks in the mind, body, health, and wellness space wanted to start a podcast, but maybe didn't know how. And so I think doing that research is partly what helped to create that level of interest already. And part of it also was that I had asked folks questions. I had created an Excel document and asked them what they wanted to have on the course. I had helped them almost co-create the course. Now, it would have been awesome if all 297 people converted into sales. A good number of them definitely converted into sales. Initially, I only had 6 people that bought it on pre-sale. And to be honest, I was a little dejected by that because I felt like, again, that course was really high quality. There were almost 300 people on there. Why did only 6 of them buy? And I think now looking back, part of it was that it was a new product. Part of it was that I didn't do enough Q&A webinars, and part of it was I didn't do enough teaching workshops. But now, you know, again, this e-course thing, it's a long-term game. It's a long-term, like, marathon, not a sprint kind of idea. And so, you know, now my community is really starting to grow. We're up to 25 people, which is awesome. So when you first get your course out there, if you don't get a lot of sales, don't be discouraged by that. Just figure out the ways that you can tweak it, the ways that you can improve it. Figure out if you need to be live and you need to do some of these more workshops and then go from there. So I know today's was a little bit shorter than last time. I hope this was very helpful for you. Again, I would encourage you to listen to both of them, both session 54 and 55. And come over to the Selling the Couch Facebook community. You can find that at sellingthecouch.com/community. If you have any questions about selling a course, distributing a course, there are several members in the community that have actually also built e-courses. So I am definitely there to support you if you have any questions or if you're stuck on anything. I just think this whole area of e-courses, we all have expertise in something, and I think it's just a neat way to be able to share that knowledge with a much larger audience and also to create some supplemental income for yourself. Show notes to today's episode can be found at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 55. Thank you again for taking the time to tune into today's episode, and I will see you next time. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in the quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically.
and not salesy and slimy, and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcastingworkshop.